Good morning and welcome to today's oil market update with Callum McPherson. How are you today, Callum?
Very good, and you, Toby?
Yeah, good, thank you, not too bad. So as usual, the US-China trade talks have led to volatility in price, and Brent fell below $60 per barrel at the end of last week, but only to recover again. So can you take us through that first, Callum?
Yeah, firstly, the signing of the Phase 1 deal, which is a sort of minor package of tariff reliefs, was delayed due to the cancellation of the APEC meeting in Chile, where it had been scheduled to be signed. But more significantly, Bloomberg reported that Chinese officials had cast doubt over the chances of signing a long-term deal, a comprehensive deal, and that really unsettled markets, and we saw Brent trading down to a low of $59.40. It may be that the Chinese are stalling for time and hoping that somebody more amenable comes into power next year after the US election. However, on Friday, the Caixin manufacturing PMI data for China came in stronger than expected, and that helped the market recover a bit, and Brent went back over $60 per barrel, leaving the market really a little changed over the week.
Okay, and the UK government announced a ban on fracking, so how significant is this?
Yeah, well, the government's announced that there's going to be a halt to any further fracking in England until there was compelling new evidence, was the expression used, that it can be done safely. And this is, of course, because of the continued problem of earthquakes. And earthquakes are not very good during an election campaign, so I think it's clear that they wanted to eliminate that particular danger. I mean, ultimately, fracking was pretty difficult in the UK anyway, given the constraints the government imposed on it. So I don't think really anyone had factored in dramatic potential for it in terms of supplying gas markets, because it's really about gas rather than oil. So, in which case, it doesn't really change the global picture at all. Far, far, far more significant, though, are the development of an anti-fracking movement in the US amongst the some of the Democratic presidential candidates. Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are particular examples, but actually quite a number of the candidates are supporting some sort of restrictions or complete banning of fracking in the US. And indeed, some states already have bans on fracking. And this is because of the sorts of problems that have bedeviled fracking here in the UK and in other places as well, such as the earthquakes and other environmental concerns. If there were to be a total fracking ban introduced in the US, it would be an absolute cataclysm for oil and gas markets everywhere. It really can't overstate how significant the impact will be, because so much of the growth that we've seen in the last few years in oil production and gas that's now supplying the world through LNG has come through the US, and that growth has come from fracking. So if a ban were to be introduced, the impact would be very rapid because of the decline rates of shale fields, and so we would see production in the US decline very rapidly, and consequently we would have a very significant ramp up in oil prices and indeed gas prices. So that's definitely something to watch out for as the US election campaign starts to hot up. Initially to see who looks like they're going to be successful amongst the Democratic presidential candidates and how their policies change over time. Because, of course, this will also lead to much higher oil prices for people in the US, and so that will be a consideration as well. And so we'll see how their policies adapt to people's reaction to that.
Okay, and it's been announced that the Aramco is going ahead with the first stage of its IPO, which will be on the Riyadh exchange. Could you take us through that as well, please?
So there's been a lot of debate about what valuation this IPO will put on Aramco overall, ranging from about 1.2 trillion up to $2 trillion. So it, clearly extremely valuable, but also an extraordinary range, depending on what assumptions you make about oil prices and investor appetite and so on. In this initial tranche, they're looking to sell 1 to 2% of the company, and as you mentioned, that's going to be a domestic issuance on the Riyadh exchange. And I think subsequently, depending on how that goes, they will then do a further offering on an international exchange to be determined. New York, London, Tokyo, I think, have all been talked about. I think the most interesting thing about this will be to see whether there is much international interest in this issuance, because that will gauge how likely it is for the next stage of listing to go ahead.
Okay, and finally, where do you see the market moving from here then?
Well, Brent's still just about on its upward trajectory from the lows of October, but it has now been constrained on the upside by the 100-day moving average, which is around $61.75-$62 per barrel area, just under that sort of level this morning. So I think a move higher probably would rely on some more positive momentum on equities. The equity markets are a bit stronger this morning. I think if 62 is broken, that we've got a chance of moving up towards the 200-day average, which comes in around $64.50 per barrel.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Callum.
Thank you.